Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Center Point. I am your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. In this show, we will discuss ways that we can journey to our own centers. This can help us access our inner resources to improve our physical abilities and health, our mental strength, our emotional well-being, and our spirituality. Today, I'm very glad to introduce our special guest, Tony DeStefani. DeStefani, see, I messed up. Hi, Tony.
That's okay, Ron. Many ways to say it. So thanks for having me today, and look forward to our conversation.
Thank you. So let me tell you about Tony. Tony is a friend. He's my financial advisor. And he's been with Comerica Financial Advisors for the last 14 years and has 25 years of financial industry experience. And I really wanted to invite Tony to talk about the psychology of investing, which is because as people who listen to this show know that we all are interested in psychology and what makes people tick. Tony lives in San Diego. He has two children, Jacob and Sadie. He loves traveling, hiking, golf, and going to baseball games with his friends and family. The Padres may make the playoffs this year. Is that true?
That is true. It's an exciting time. We don't have any winning seasons, so we've got to take advantage of them.
Hope we're not hexing them by mentioning it.
Exactly.
So, Tony, tell me, I'd love to hear how people got into their careers, because I counsel a lot of teenagers and young adults. How did you end up in financial advising?
So, started a long time ago, actually, in high school. That was my first interest. I still remember my freshman year in high school in math class. My instructor, my teacher at that time, had volunteered his classroom one day a week for anyone that's interested in investing in stocks and learning about investments to come in with your lunch, and we would do this for one semester. So that was very interesting to me because my whole family was in education and had no experience. And so when he brought this up, I was like, you know what? This would be fun. So I still remember that class, and the nice thing is we all competed. He gave us some big money, and I still remember our first stock that I purchased in that class. It was Coca-Cola. And so in back in those days, we would have to go in and look at the newspaper and pull up what the stock did the previous day. So that was my first experience with saying, you know what, this is something that I can see myself, progressing and wanting to do as a career. So that was my first step into understanding, learning about stocks, investing, and then I went to college. I got a four-year degree in business administration, and a lot of those classes were focused on finance, investing, and so that was my first step in that direction. During my time in college, I had to work through my college, and one of my jobs was a paid internship as the grunt for the day traders. And I would get in there at 6 o'clock in the morning and go through their previous trades, making sure everything was correct. And so, from that point, I really liked it. I was not an early person. At that time, just like a lot of college students, I enjoyed sleeping in, being up late, but that changed right away. And after that, I was an assistant, and then I was had an opportunity to become a financial advisor.
So did you do any investing yourself in high school, personal investing?
No. No, I did not. I just did it through the class that I participated in, and that was my first indication, and kind of, I would say, excitement. Even though it was fake money, I did well, and I said, you know what, this is something I like. My first actual investing with my own money was actually in college. As I mentioned, I worked throughout my college career, and I started investing and more heavily when I had that internship because I got to follow the markets. One requirement with that job, which I tell all new hires, is to read one document of investments from the previous day every morning. When you're drinking your coffee, whatever you're doing, you know, read something that happened or economic news from the previous day or the week.
Yeah, I ask because some of my teenagers who are my patients, they invest through Robinhood, like apps that let them invest in, my perfections of stocks, and some of them have done pretty well already as teens. So they're getting a jump ahead, I suppose.
Well, that's an interesting point. I do feel more now than ever. Individuals, kids that are interested in investing can start earlier than when myself, yourself, other generations were able to, just because it's more accessible through the internet and a click of a button these days.
Has the role of financial advisor or stock, I know stockbroker is somewhat different, but has it changed because of the internet? So is there less to do, or is there big messes to clean up? How does it work?
I would say there's more overall. I think our role has changed just a little, and because a lot more individuals feel like they can do it on their own. There's more regulation than there was even 10, 15 years ago. And so I think certain generations value financial advisors a little more than others, and it's just due to the accessibility of being able to access and execute trades on your own.
Yeah, it's interesting. The real estate market is undergoing a revolution as we speak because of changed laws that buyers, realtors have to be paid by the buyers now. And so many people are just foregoing those and looking for houses on their own. So let's see how that shakes out. So tell me, Tony, so why did you decide to go to financial advising as opposed to another aspect of finance? And what does a financial advisor do?
So the first part of that question, why did I choose financial advising over other, like people. I enjoy talking to people, helping people, and to me that is the number one piece as being a financial advisor. Yes, it's all about it's about numbers, the stock market, but having that connection with people, that's really what drove me into going forward with this career. The first thing was, yes, in high school and in college, it was all about the numbers. But when I became, I got licensed and I was an assistant first, which I recommend anyone that looking to be a finance advisor, being an assistant is a great way to really understand the full landscape of being a finance advisor and just seeing how people interact. And so that really was kind of tipping step towards myself being a financial advisor and saying, I want to do this as a career. And then in regards to being a financial advisor and what it entails, I really look at it as myself, my team, we really have a five-step approach. And the number one is anyone that comes to myself, my team, is understanding their current financial picture. That's the number one, having a connection with that client, with that prospect, and understanding where they're at currently. We always break it down. There's typically three phases. There is you're in accumulation phase, protect, or distribute. And so that's the first step we look at. The second step is just identify what your goals are, short-term, intermediate, long-term. We need to understand and prioritize what your immediate need is. You know, really, a lot of times, what brought you to us? Because a lot of times, the prospect and clients, they've done it on their own, and there's usually a tipping point on why they're coming to a financial advisor. Then the third one is, how are we going to obtain those goals? So I think that's the one thing that, with our team, we discuss a financial plan, the different type of investments. Every client, we always say, you have to have a roadmap. Our roadmap is a financial plan. Then the fourth one is implementation. How are we going to implement that financial plan to achieve the goals that you have for your short, intermediate, and long term? And then lastly is always ongoing progress. And that's with quarterly and yearly meetings. So that is typically our role as financial advisors. And it expands from those, but those I would say would be our five main goals.
And it sounds like you establish long-term relationships.
Yes. And I think that's enjoyment and satisfaction, you know, being in this job, where I always say a lot of my clients, they're not clients, they're friends. I go to events with them, we go to dinners, we go to birthdays, celebrations, because when you're talking to someone in regards to their finance, it's a very sensitive conversation at times. You know, they're not all comfortable conversations in regards to, if a client comes to us and says, I want to do this, and we have to go to the plan and say, if we do this, it's going to impact this and their goals and what they want to do in the future. So, you know, we don't always have the best, you know, conversations, uncomfortable conversations at times, but the relationship, and that's what I really like. I really enjoy seeing the children come to me, their grandchildren come to me and ask, you know, what do you think about this, Tony? What do you think about this investment? And so that really is what is enjoyable about the job.
So can you explain how children and grandchildren come to you? How does that establish, get this established?
Yeah, so since I've been doing this a little while now, I've had a number of children that I've seen grow up, they're clients of mine now, or when they were going into college, they were not sure what career direction, what major they wanted to go to or to study. And so I sit down with them and explain from a business standpoint, from financing, investing, what type of jobs and opportunities there could be for them with my firm, with just in general. And so that's what I always talk to them about. And then with grandchildren, a lot of times I'm seeing it more now where we're talking to them about a college account, and their parents want them to understand the importance of investing. I always start with compound interest. And so I do a lot of calls and meetings with children and grandchildren and just talk about the simple importance of investing and compound interest. Because unfortunately, I know with my kids, they don't have a class like that anymore, not even to understand how to balance a checkbook. And so that's where I do talk to some in regards to that.
So you're like a full-service financial advisor. 360.
I am. And so, like I said, I enjoy it. I enjoy
talking to people and helping them out, even if they don't fit our team and what we can do. But if I can just help, a student and direct them into finance or something that they're passionate about, that's rewarding.
Why did you choose to affiliate with Comerica as opposed to be like an independent advisor? How does that go?
So I was originally with Bank of America Merrill Lynch, and I was happy there. My manager from that firm came over to Comerica, and I always liked challenges, and Comerica was just starting out their securities arm from the bank. They were always known for, we call it cash management, where they had advisors, but it was always just doing CDs, just managing cash, and they really wanted to branch out and do full financial planning. And so they reached out to me, and I was the only advisor in San Diego. And at that time, I was covering Orange County. And so, to me, it was a challenge. And I like challenges. And I could build a team. I could build out San Diego. And so, that's why I chose Comerica. And I've been happy. And, there is opportunity to go independent, to go to other firms. But the old saying that my dad told me, grass is not always greener on the other side. And so I'm happy, and so continue with Comerica Financial Advisors, and I've been able to build a team and just to provide for my clients.
So if somebody is looking for a financial advisor, what considerations should they have? Because I know some advisors are paid like a cash fee or whatever, as opposed to other advisors get paid a percentage of, I guess, the portfolio. What should people look for?
First is a relationship. I would say making sure that the financial advisor and you connect would be first and foremost, and understanding their fiduciary responsibility. If they are fee-based fee, if they are, we call it hybrid, or if they're transactional only. There's pluses and minuses to both. And so my first thing, if someone comes to me and they say, I'm interviewing financial advisors, you're one of them I'm interviewing, I want to make sure that them and my team is a good fit for what we do for our clients and what the client's expectations are. And so I think that would be the biggest thing, is just go interview a financial advisor, understand how they run their practice, and if how they run their practice is aligned with your goals, then that would be a good match. You can't always just go off if they charge a certain percent for all assets, or if they charge a commission and charge for plans, because, like I said, there's advantages, disadvantages to both type of approaches.
Because one of the things I've heard is that financial advisors who charge a commission per transactions are going to be incentivized to make a lot of transactions. Is that a true fear? Is that something people should watch out for?
That is a fear, and that is true. There's not too many advisors these days that are true, we call that a transactional advisor. There's not too many that are true transactional advisors. I would say you would see more as a hybrid, where they do have some of the brokerage availability and charge individual commissions. The majority are going to a more fee-based, a fee approach, a certain fee for managing all their assets.
You know, it's interesting when you said pick an advisor based on how you get along and rapport, because in psychology it's the same rule. It's less important what kind of therapy your therapist uses, it's more important to have a relationship that works.
And it's funny you say that because I agree 100% with that. With all the capabilities, all advisors, majority advisors, we all have the same product. We all have the same accessibility. So that's interesting, but I agree with that 100%.
So I guess I want to start talking about the psychology of investing and the psychology of dealing with your clients. So let's start in your training, like in college and in training to be a financial advisor. Courses of psychology, were you told to watch out for this? You had to learn it on your own?
Yeah. I did have a course in college, but then we also have access to illustrations, presentations on behavioral finance. And so this really ties into the steps that I discussed before on what we go through with clients. This is in order for us to minimize the emotions of overreaction or any bias they might have on their money investments that we need to understand from their past investment experience.
Well, I want to talk to you a lot more. I'm going to trip because we have to go to break, but I want to talk to you a lot more about behavioral finance. That sounds really interesting. We'll be right back after this break. This is CenterPoint for Dr. Ron Anbar.
Coming attraction, Life Guide for Teens, Harnessing Your Inner Power to Be Healthy, Happy, and Confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Anbar to be published early 2025. Dr. Anbar's renowned counseling practice, CenterPoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Anbar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At CenterPoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at CenterPointMedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. Our guest, Tony DeStefani. we're talking about behavioral finance. And can you say more? Like, what do you look for? How do you minimize the client's emotional reactions?
So I go back to understanding their past investment experience, because this will really direct us into what phases what we talk about in regards to achieving goals and really understanding how the client and allocation risk that we should have in the portfolios, because, you know, the last thing we want is overreaction. If the market's down 10%, they're calling us right away and wanting to liquidate. And so that's why, like I mentioned, you know, we tie everything into a financial plan, because there's studies that show the average investor underperforms the average market due to emotions. And we do talk about why having a financial advisor and why having a financial plan that's revisited minimum a yearly is very instrumental in meeting the goals, but also minimizing those emotional investment mistakes that a lot make. I think the number one that I see, especially now more than ever, it's called, you know, the hurting bias, right? Is everyone is scared about missing on opportunity, missing on the AI, missing on those big, you know, mega cap stocks that have gone up 35, 40, 50 plus percent. So that is something that we continually talk to clients about. And we always tie it into, this is why we have, we call it the roadmap, the financial plan for each client.
How often do you meet a client who misunderstands their risk tolerance? So they tell you it's one thing, but it's not really. Does that happen a lot?
No. No, that does not. I think, especially with the way that our team goes through from a risk perspective and understanding where the client invested in previously and what they liked, what they didn't like, what they were worried about, it doesn't happen very often. And a lot of times what we see is they're more risk averse than they think they are, especially during downturns, because, you know, there's going to be pullbacks in every market. No market goes straight up, but that, I think that's what we see the most. But I feel like our team, we're pretty accurate from a risk perspective for our clients.
And how often do clients demand that you invest in something you think is a bad idea, and what do you do when that happens or doesn't happen?
that's a great question. Because I look at it as a two-step process. Yeah, this is, you know, why we have a financial plan to discuss investments. And if they want to add to the portfolio, we just make sure and go through the plan and revisit our original discussion with risk and how are we going to achieve the goals. And then the second step on that is we're going to provide the pros and cons to the investment that they want to add. And at the end of the day, it's up to the client. The only thing we do as advisors, and I can only speak for my team, is we provide the advice and the information, and they can make the final decision. If they do decide to invest in an investment that we do not recommend, we, of course, document that. And it's not going to be a big piece of their portfolio, but it could be, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5%. But it doesn't happen very often. If it does happen, a lot of times it is from their friends that invest in these high volatile stocks. And then once they get burned one time, they usually don't come back and ask to add anything to the portfolios.
You know, I'm thinking, again, this is parallel when I do counseling, although I counsel mostly teenage, young adults. So I'll give advice, let's say relationship advice, and they'll ignore it. And then they find out that it didn't work, and the relationship didn't work out. And they say, oh, well, now I've learned. But some of them say, it's important for me to find out for myself, not just take the advice. So, does that happen to you as well?
Yes. 100%. And that's why, especially investing, people are going to want to sometimes have their own investments, and we segment, like I said, anywhere from, you know, 2 to 5%, max 10%, because a lot of times people like to go to a cocktail hour, go to a party and say, you know what, I bought this penny stock or I bought this stock, which an advisor would never purchase on their own. And so, you know, that's why it's nice to have flexibility. And I think that's the one thing that you see with myself and my team is we are not, there are some advisors that it's one way only. We have flexibility because it's your money. We can only advise from our experience on what we're seeing and to achieve your goals. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's your money. You should be able to make the final decision.
How do you handle a client who has unrealistic expectations, wants to invest half their portfolio in something you think is really wrong, and they're not listening to you? Do you ever fire such clients?
Yes. Well, and it's funny you asked that, Ron, because you know, when you're early in your career, you say, I'm going to take everybody. But when you get more established and you're more, I'd say, seasoned, I don't run into this very often. As when I sit with clients and let them know the investment strategies are tied into the financial plan and we're focused on long-term investing, and then so it doesn't tie into it very much because, like I said, when we sit down, if they come in and they have high return expectations, we'll explain to them our process. And we'll have a conversation that from your expectations is not aligned with our approach, and it's just not going to be attainable. And so that's when they would have to make a decision and understand our process, and then we would make a mutual decision that it makes sense for us to move forward working together.
Yeah. Again, there's so many parallels to the counseling work. Sometimes a patient will come and say, I want this kind of therapy, and I say, well, I can't provide you that kind of therapy. Go find elsewhere. Yeah. Interesting.
It's funny. There's a lot of parallels between and your counseling and everything that you do on your side, Ron.
Well, I think the parallels are because we're dealing with humans, and we will finally work long-term, and we both try to develop a plan and have a goal. And if the client wants to deviate strongly from that goal, then you have to reassess the relationship. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I agree.
When we come back, I want to, if you could give us a little primer and give us an idea of what kind of investments are out there for people to consider, and specifically in terms of psychology of the investor, I guess part of it is the risk tolerance, which might dictate some investments, but if you can share some of the thoughts of how you guide someone through the investments, that would be awesome. We'll be right back. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Unbar.
Make-A-Wish has been granting life-changing wishes for children and families for over 40 years. A wish is something that gives children the opportunity to look outside their illness and restore a sense of childhood back to the child. With the help of donors and more than 43,000 worldwide volunteers, Make-A-Wish has collectively granted more than 520,000 wishes worldwide. Dr. Anbar has referred many patients to Make-A-Wish. To make a donation, go to worldwish.org. That's worldwish.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Dr. Ron Ambar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Coming attraction, life guide for teens, harnessing your inner power to be healthy, happy, and confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Ambar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Ambar. Our guest, Tony DeStefani. I'm having trouble with your name. Stephanie. So talk to me about what kind of, if I'm a beginning investor, or no, let's say I have a significant portfolio, I'm asking you, how do I invest this? What would you suggest? What kind of options are there?
So there's five main investment options. And then I'll go through all five of them and then, you know, kind of dive into the top three, I would say. Stocks or exchange-traded fund, ETFs, would be number one. Then you have bonds. And then mutual funds, then annuities and life insurance. So I would say those are basically the five main ones. There is some other investments that we could talk about in a lot more depth, but those would be the five. I'm going to just touch on the top three: stocks, ETFs, bonds, and mutual funds. And the reason why I bring up those three is stocks and ETFs are talked about a lot, especially on certain news stations. And stocks, the individual, is a little more risk, but a little higher return typically than if you have a diversified ETF or mutual fund. An ETF is an exchange-traded fund, and it typically will track the benchmark or a certain sector. And these are very popular because they have low fees. And, you know, especially the last 10, 15 years, it's called passive investments. And so they're very popular. Individual bonds have been popular the last 2 years just because of the current interest rate environment. And so if you are more conservative, if you're looking for retirement income, things like that, the individual bonds have been very popular the last couple of years. And then finally, mutual funds. Those are a basket professionally managed by a manager through different mutual fund companies. And these are very popular before the exchange-traded funds. These are more active investments. And there's pluses and minuses. So when we look at building a portfolio, a lot of times there will be a combination of all three of those: stocks, ETFs, bonds, and mutual funds. Because like I said, there's advantages, disadvantages to having each one in a portfolio.
And I'm going to ask about the other two. What about life insurance? Or why should I or shouldn't I do that as an investment?
Yeah, so typically when we look at life insurance, first we look at life insurance for younger individuals to make sure that they are covered in case if anything unexpected happens. And so that's typically first and foremost what we look at. As you know, a lot of people have heard of a term insurance or something like that. And so that's something that we always look at. And then there's other type of insurance where they're investments as well. And there is advantages, disadvantages to having those. A lot of times when we sit with clients, we want to make sure that they're maximizing any employer retirement plans first and foremost before we really dive into any of these, just because from a tax perspective and from a retirement perspective, because there's not many true pensions available through companies anymore. So it's really the 401k to make sure that you're funding your retirement for the next 20, 30, 40 years.
Now, speaking of investments, there also is cryptocurrency out there. There's gold, which from my perspective, both of those are emotionally driven investments. But I wonder what your comments are on those, as places to put your money.
So we don't invest in crypto at all. That's just not in our portfolios. We do have precious metals, gold, silver, in our portfolios, and we like those. They've done very well these last couple of years. So that would be kind of our hedge. More alternatives we would do with precious metals, things like that.
But to me, crypto is it's all driven by greed, as far as I can see. But people buy it because it makes money, and I always think of the tulip story from, I think, the 17th century, that the price of tulips was increased dramatically because everybody was just buying it. It's sort of like meme stocks. It's very popular, but it buys it, and it's not really worth very much, and then it crashes. Is that how you look at crypto? You look at it differently?
Yeah, I look at crypto meme stocks. We don't touch any of those. And some financial advisors might, but we don't, and it's not even on our forecast. Because when we're looking at investments, when we're looking to add things to our portfolio, we're looking 9, 12 months out, right? Minimum 6. And so that's not even on our radar at this time.
Yeah. It's funny, some companies take it as payments, which is quite interesting. But beyond the scope of this discussion, so you talked about making forecasts. How do you make forecasts? Where do you get your information from?
So that's a nice thing about our industry. It's very transparent. It doesn't matter what firm you're with. You typically have access to other economists, other portfolio managers, their firms on their forecasts. And so what we do on our team is we use 3 to 4 firms, and we're on a lot of calls at early in the morning. Each one of our team members tries to be on a different portfolio manager's calls or an economist's calls, so we can then come back and we look at what they're looking at, what their allocation, what the forecast is from any recessionary concerns, what business cycle we're in. All of them are very similar, but there is some firms that, of course, are always bullish, and some firms that are more on the bearish side. And so that's why we do like having a variety of 3 to 4 that we're always following.
And how accurate is the forecast you give to your clients? Sometimes I think of it as like weather forecasts. They're pretty good, but oftentimes they're really wrong. Does that happen in your business?
Well, it's funny you say that, because a lot of these forecasts are based on both macro and microeconomics, and then key metrics and indicators, unemployment, inflation, sales, consumer confidence, etc. So it's hard to say, occasionally they're not, accurate, but majority of the time they are. The biggest concern is the headwinds, and of really predicting financial crisis, things like that. I think that's when we see them, the outliers, when they're not correct.
the black swan events.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's always one of them.
When we come back, I want to ask you one more question about forecasting. I'm wondering how you handle an election season when the potential winner of the White House is really up for grabs and how you forecast past that. So that's going to be my question. We'll be right back after these messages. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
More than 30,000 children and adults of every race and ethnic group in the U.S. have cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a disease causing long-lasting lung infections, limiting the ability to breathe over time. Dr. Anbar participated in research that helped advance survival of cystic fibrosis patients by more than 20 years. He encourages you to donate to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation to help find a cure. It's easy to donate. Go to cff.org. That's cff.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com, or visit dranbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California, and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Centerpoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. We are talking financial investments, and we are now 6 weeks from an election when it's not clear who's going to win. How do you forecast into early 2025 with this uncertainty?
So I think that it's hard. It is hard, but there is a lot of data out there that shows that, you know, there is always going to be volatility in the market, and especially during election years. But if you're focused on the long term, and I keep going back, sound like a broken record, but having a plan and just sticking to that plan. Because the one thing that we look at is it's really split government. That's what we, and there's been studies that show that. So we look at the House, the Senate, and see where we're at, and that kind of gives us an indication of, are we going to have split government? If not, you know, what are the concerns going forward and the impact that it could have over the next year to, you know, 4 years?
You know, as we're talking, I realized, came to another realization about the psychology of investment, similar to the counseling. So I tell kids, when you move forward in life, one or two things will happen. You'll succeed, or you won't succeed. And if you don't succeed, that's not bad, because you'll learn from it, and that'll move you forward. And I think investing is sort of the same thing. Your investments will go up, great, or they'll go down, and then you'll have an opportunity to invest differently and still come out ahead. Do you think that's a good analogy?
No, I think it's a great analogy. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so this is our last segment, and what I'd love to ask our guests is to give us three or four life tips based on your experiences that our audience can take and maybe start employing today. So what tips would you have?
The number one, and I instilled this in my kids, and it was instilled in me by my grandparents, by my parents, is my work ethic. I've always said there's always going to be smarter individuals than myself, than you, than anybody. But I always tell myself I should never be at work, and that's the one thing that I really strive. You know, I still come in early at 6 in the morning, and I'm typically the last one in office at times, which I shouldn't be. Some of the younger individuals on the firm should be, but that's the one thing, and that's where I think I've been able to succeed and be where I'm at today. And I tell my kids that. I think a lot of people have probably seen, you know, Kobe Bryant talking about going into the gym early, and so that is the one thing that I've done in college and throughout my career. I think the second would be control what you can control. There's going to be curveballs. Doesn't matter if it's life, if it's your career. Nothing ever goes smoothly, as everyone knows. And so that's the one thing. Only worry about what you can control and what you can make a difference in. And then just you're going to have to adapt. And I keep saying the same thing. These are the things that I talk to my kids about. My son's in college now, my daughter, junior, and this is the one thing that my wife and I instill in them is, you know, there's going to be curveballs. There's going to be things that you're not happy with, but you have to just move on. And that ties into the last one, short-term memory. You know, I can tell you so many times when I was younger where, you know, something didn't go my way, then I would just dwell on it. Or, you know, for example, you know, people go, oh, what about stock you missed out on? I could tell you about many of them where maybe the ratios didn't make sense to me, so I sold, and then they kept going. But I don't look back. I have short-term memory, so that's the one thing that you really have to have in my career as well as a financial advisor. You can't dwell on anything, just keep moving forward.
I love these three tips because they apply to life in general. As you're saying them, I'm thinking about that top athletes, the work ethic, controlling what they can control, and short-term memory. You mess up a play, you just move on. What's next, as opposed to dwelling? I'm also remembering, I don't know if you know Jocko Willink, who has a lot of motivational books and movies and videos. When you control what you can control, I think you should also control things that you might not be responsible necessarily for, but that you can help. Jocko talks about radical ownership. Take ownership of everything you're involved in, even if it's not your job. As long as, of course, you're not stepping in somebody else, but don't wait for somebody else to do the thing, you know, make the change.
It's funny you say that because a lot of people in my office will be like, Tony, why are you, you know, apologizing or, you know, taking responsibility for that? And when it's not you, and to that point, it's, you know, if it's with my team, if it's under my view, you know, I feel responsible for it. And so that is interesting. Yeah, I agree with that.
So, thank you, Tony, for teaching us so much today about investing, the psychology of investing, how to identify your risk tolerance and invest accordingly and stay the course and don't emotionally invest. You know, the old adage, you know, buy low and sell high is so important to keep in mind. And when things go down, that's the opportunity to buy, and that's the good thing about when things don't go your way. So you want to maintain a sort of positive psychology to be a successful investor. So if I ask, I guess one more, I'd ask your tip. So if I want to invest in something that I might not have thought of, is there a particular ETF what you would say, or is that off limits, the kind of question, that kind of question?
I would just say invest in what you buy. That's rule number one. And so if you go to a certain company and you're going there to buy a lot of your goods, I would invest in that first, because you're investing in that company by buying their product. You might as well invest in that company as well.
Did you follow that rule when you invested in Coca-Cola back in high school?
I did, because my parents were big Coca-Cola people. It's interesting, real quick, my first college class, that's the first thing she said, too, about investing. And that's kind of rule, you know, like I said, rule 101, whatever, is if you're going to buy a stock, buy it.
I'm trying to find a parallel to that advice in psychology. So you should, I guess the parallel is when I work with a patient, I work with what they bring me. So if they like SpongeBob SquarePants, I will talk about SpongeBob SquarePants because that's what they know. So I think it's also true in psychology that you invest in what you have and what you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. Tony, thank you so much. You've opened my eyes to the parallels between counseling and being a financial advisor. When we meet next, we'll have to talk more. Maybe we can share more tips with each other. I really appreciate your sharing your knowledge and wisdom with us today.
Definitely. It was very, very fun, and I'm glad we were able to do this, Ron.
Thank you so much. Everyone have a great week. This is CenterPoint with Dr. Ron Unbar.